Morning, morning. It's good to be back, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good. Some of you have been quiet about that. I'm not sure, but I know that I've missed coming to church, especially this church. We've visited many churches over the festive season, and there was just something about His way. It's always good to have familiar faces and, you know, and people that have already walked the journey with you. It's so good. But it was also good to try other churches and just, you know, have a different vibe. Some churches have a different vibe. And it's also always good. I listened to someone saying that we should actually switch our beds when the year starts. You know, if your bed has always been facing south, turn it around, you know. Let it be a new year. Let it be new. Amen. Or swap sides with your wife. Absolutely. Yeah. We actually swapped sides with my wife this year. I said I'm going the other side. Yeah. So it's good to be back. I'm going to do an illustration about fellowship because I feel like this year fellowship is just the key of the church. It's the engine of the church. And I just want to do an illustration. I don't know who has a Bible here. Can I use yours, Krisha? Yeah, this is a nice heavy one. Who has another heavier one? Like a bigger size? Yeah. I'm going to ask Faye to come forth. If you could hold these Bibles for me. Just hold them. You could turn around and just... Yeah. And you just stretch your arms.
Okay.
Yeah, just hold them like that. No, like this. This. That's it. Just like that. Right? This is the sword, right? We all know that this is our sword. Amen. And it gets heavier, eh? Is it heavy? Yes. And this word is heavy, family. It's not easy, eh? As you hold onto it, it gets heavier. And it gets heavier. And it gets heavier. But Dave, can you come? Can you just hold, help her? Just hold her arms. Her arms.
Her arms. There you go.
Do you want to come help her and hold her arms? Yes. And how does it feel, Faye?
Is that better?
Much, much better. With help. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for this illustration. And that's Krisha, and essentially, this is how it feels like when we walk along. And we, you know, we hear people saying, "Me and my God will do this." So you're holding the sword by yourself. And as time goes, it gets heavier. And your arms start trembling. And it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And soon, you let go of the word. And I felt like that during the season of the festive season. I mean, Dave was just sharing about it now. That we get spiritually lazy because we're no longer in fellowship. You know? So I realized the power of church, the power of fellowship. That when we actually come together, the word gets lighter because we hold each other. When we come in fellowship, our journeys get lighter because someone here at church is going to lift you up in a battle that you're fighting. Or you just come here and you just feel lighter. For what purpose? I don't know, but I just feel good coming from church. Amen. So may we just hold on to that this year, that we can't do life alone. And you can't do the word alone. You need fellowship. You need people around you. You need to walk with saints who follow that word, the word that you follow, who follow the same Jesus that you follow, to walk with you this year. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today's message, I have titled it, Resting in God's Love. Amen. First of all, I want to wish you all a blessed new year. May the Lord just be with you in every endeavor of yours. May it prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So during the beginning of the year, we all have some kind of routine, isn't it? When we enter the new year, I remember when I was living with my mom, before the new year started, you know, we'd had to clean the house. We would call it spring cleaning, you know. My mother would say, we can't enter the new year without the house being clean. So we would clean everything, take out all our clothes, wash them, iron them, you know, wipe the walls, do everything, so that when the new year comes in, we start the year afresh. I don't know about you. I know there's a lot of people who start the year with plans. Some people say elderly people don't plan because, you know, they have life experience. It's the same old. And I realized when I fellowshiped with elderly people that that's not true. They have goals. There's things that they look forward to when the year begins, you know. There's things they want to put in place so that they look forward to the year. Amen. There's some people that start fasting when the year starts, you know. I know we all go through different fasts. Some of us fast because we want to detox from the festive season. Okay?
It's called dieting.
I was being kind. We want to detox, Dave says, dieting from all the cakes, the fat cooks, everything that we've been chowing, everything that we've been drinking. You know, the seven colors in the black family, we call it seven colors. You know, on your dish, there's seven different colors. There's potatoes, there's everything, beetroot, pumpkin, all of it. Chicken, steak, wurst, mince, everything, all in one dish. Okay? And we start the year wanting to, you know, detox. But some really start the year really wanting to fast and saying, Father, I need to hear from you. What do you have for us this year? So we all have different routines. What is your routine? You know, some have goals. They put goals and they put a vision board and they say, this is what I foresee this year. What is yours? I'm assuming that we all have our plans for the year. We have written them down somewhere in the book, on the walls, in the mirror, somewhere. Some of us are still here in the mind. We're still thinking about them. Hey, we all have different plans. What is yours? I know mine has been about my children and my family. I was telling Dave last year, I said, yo, for the past 4 years, it's been hectic. I haven't actually gotten to sit and say, hey, let me be present with the family, you know? I said, this year, I'm going to make pockets, moments where I can spend time with my wife, my children, my father, my mother, and extended family. Amen. But as you have those plans, I'm sure you have them somewhere. You've written them somewhere. Before we start 2025 with those plans, the Lord calls us to remember an essential and important part about planning. And I want to speak into that today. Amen. So let's read Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19, verse 21. A very well-known script. It says, many are the plans of a person's heart. Not many are the plans of a person, but a person's heart. Yeah. A person's heart. So plans are in the heart, not in the person, in the heart. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So what is the script saying to us? It says to us that as we put these plans, God is calling us to check our hearts. What is in your heart? Are the plans that you put forth God's plans? Are they man's plans? Are they your plans or are the Lord's plans for you? There's a difference there. Are they your desires or are they God's desires for you? What are these plans that you've put forth driven by? Are they driven by fear? You know, we can write plans driven by fear. I go through that. Or are these plans driven by the love of God? The Lord is saying that if your heart here in the script, in Proverbs, it says, if your heart is full of God's knowledge for you, his purpose will prevail. That's what the script is basically saying. If your heart is full of his understanding, his plans will prevail for you. Because we know nothing else. We know nothing else. But God loves us so much that he has a dream for you and me. This is why the Lord calls us family to guard our hearts with all diligence. Because what sits in the heart can plan for defeat. You can plan a year full of fear because what's in your heart is not the knowledge of God. It's not the love of God. The heart, family, is the production factory of your life. And God calls us to guard this place with all diligence. Amen. God calls us to know his love for 2025. God is calling us to know his love, family. As we put these plans together, God calls us to know him. 1 John, if we open up 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love. No fear. Meaning that there is no fear in God. There is no fear in Christ. There is no fear in the Word of God. There is only love. Hallelujah. But perfect love casts out all fear. So when we are in the Lord, when our plans are in the Lord, when the knowledge of God is in our hearts, it casts out all fear. Praise the Lord. For fear has to do with punishment. And sometimes we plan, put our plans because, hey, this year might just punish me. Let me put these plans together so that this year does not get hectic. Oh, am I talking to someone? I know that I go through that. We plan and we put a plan before a plan and a plan and a plan to make sure that this year becomes successful so that I don't get punished, I don't get defeated. And this is what the Word of God is saying here. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Whoever fears has no knowledge of Christ. Whoever fears has no full knowledge of his love. This is what the Word is saying to us. Amen. So we put plans together for our finances because we don't want to lose the house. I'm one of them. We put the plans together so that we don't lose the house. We put the plans together in the business to make sure that there's income so that the kids don't get kicked out of school, you know. We put plans. It's all about punishment. All about fear, but not the love of God. We put plans for our health, to have health care, so that I don't end up in a public hospital where I have to wait for 6 months for a doctor to prescribe a pill. Oh, my word. I can't go through that. So I'm looking through medical aids and I'm trying to put plans together. How am I going to pay for this? Let's be truthful, family. We are human. Yes, we are. And sometimes we do struggle with fear. We do struggle with insecurities. We do struggle with condemnation. We do struggle with trusting God. We do. We're not super spiritual people. We have challenges with that. But the Lord here in 1 John 4:18 says, it's simple. Know his purpose for you. Know what God's purpose is for you, and His purpose is to love you. His purpose is to be in fellowship with you, and for you to be in fellowship with Him. When there's fear in your plans, the word here says you have not fully come to know His love. God calls us, family, to trust in His finished works. That's what the Lord is calling us for. He's calling us to come and trust in His finished works. Why? Because He loves you. I say this again. I'm going to continue saying this until it enters us this year, that God loves me. No matter what I face, God loves me. It is written in His word, He has plans for me to prosper me. He didn't call me here to suffer. He called me here to live freely, to be in fellowship with Him, free from torment. Amen. How do you know that someone loves you? By what they give you and what they do for you. 1 Peter 2:24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body. He took all of His fears, these worries, these concerns. When we are putting the plan for the plan for the plan of the plan, He says, I bore. I was on the cross for that. There's no need for you to worry. So that we might die to sin. So that we may die from worry. So that we may die from all of these concerns that we have. And live righteously. By His wounds you have been healed. Praise the Lord. We have been made perfect by His love, family. Let 2025 plans and desires be not consumed by fear. For Christ bore it all on the cross for you. Praise the Lord. Know His love for your plans. As you plan, consider the finished works, family. As you put your plans for 2025, consider the finished works. There's no need for you to work hard. Consider the finished works. Praise the Lord. Are we all still together? Amen. Can I continue? Yes. Hallelujah. What hinders us from understanding God's love? This is a big question. So if I know that there's finished works, what is hindering me from really understanding His love for me? What is hindering me? Hosea 4:6 says, My people, which is my sons, which is my daughters, which is my disciples, which is you and I here in this church, are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected the knowledge, I also have rejected you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of God, I will also ignore your children. It seems easier to trust in our efforts when we do not know God's love for us. When you don't know God's love for you, it's easier to jump into your efforts. It's easy. You just jump into efforts, you jump into strife, you jump into, I will do it myself. It's very easy because you don't know God's love. You don't know that God has already provided you with those things. You don't know that it's written in the Word of God that you will live an accomplished life, perfect and good and wholesome for you. And when we don't know that, it's easy for us to go into strife. It's easy for us to go work for this rent and not know that God has favored you. Some of us have been raised hard, family. We hardly have ever received love from our fathers. And therefore, it's challenging to accept God's love. Because we haven't received, we had to work hard for everything. Everything. You come into this world, you're working hard. You work hard for your degree. You work hard for your master's. You work hard for for your career, everything, you are just working hard. Because we don't know of a Father's love. What the Lord is saying to us is that without the knowledge and understanding of God, we will be defeated in whatever plan we put forth. It's already defeated. Because you're already coming into working in your own power, in your own might, and not from a place of love. Amen. I remember a time we and my wife, when we got married 10 years ago. Amen. Amen. When we got married 10 years ago, we wanted children. It was our plan, and we had put it in place that we would have kids, and we want children. But then, you know, wanting children is already written that you will have children. So there's no works to that. God has granted you that. It's a blessing. It's written. You don't need to rewrite the Bible. But then we got into works, me and my wife, and we started thinking. You know, the enemy started tapping us on our shoulder. Hello, I'm here. And when you look back, then you have a conversation with him. And then he ages us. And he said, yo, do you know children are expensive? And then, you know, then we gave him full attention now. Like, really? Yeah, kids are expensive. Do you know? Huh? Do the calculation. And then we did the calculation. You know, my wife is an accountant, and we looked at millions, and we said, ha, ha, ha. I don't even earn 1% of you. And we said, okay, we need a plan. Now we need a plan. So we went into a plan. And that plan never materialized. It never materialized. And it took us many years to actually have kids because we were in disobedience. God said, I will give you children. We said, okay, but we want a plan. And it took us years and years and years before we actually had kids. And today I look back, I say, what was that all about? What was all that about? We put a plan. What was in our heart? Who was speaking into our heart? The knowledge of this world was starting to speak into our hearts, and not the knowledge of God and his love for us. Another point that hinders us from his love and in your plans is James 4, 14 to 15. It says, Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Now here's the verse I'd like us to highlight. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the will of God, we will live. And we will do this and we will do that. Amen. If your plans are within God's will, they will live. Do not rewrite the plan. Don't write another Bible. Your life is written there. Stick to the word of God. Follow the word of God. Follow what he says. And the Lord says, those plans will, they will prevail. Because that's my purpose for you. Praise the Lord. It says, you will not only live. Those plans will not only live, but they will do this and that. So they will be ever moving. The plans that God had for us for kids are not only for the, praise God, for kids, but the kids will do this and they will do that. They will go to varsities, they will be. That's the blessing. Praise the Lord. Resting in God's love will transform your life. It will transform your life. Resting in his finished works for you will transform your life. As you start 2025, know this. As I read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7, we know the scripture that says, Love is kind. Love is patient. But I want to see something in this scripture. It says, where it says love, we write Christ. Christ is patient. Christ is kind. Christ does not know envy. Christ does not boast. Christ is not proud. Christ does not dishonor others. Christ is not self-seeking. Christ is not easily angered. Christ keeps no record of wrong. Christ does not delight in evil. He does not delight in evil. Christ rejoices with the truth. Christ always protects. Christ always trusts. Christ always hopes. And Christ always preserves. When those plans are of Christ, they will be patient. Praise the Lord. When those plans are in Christ, they will be kind to you. Have you ever had plans that are not kind to you? They make you work, they're not kind to you. But God says, if they are mine, they will be kind to you. They will not be full of envy. They will not be boastful. They will not be proud. They will not dishonor others. Those plans will not dishonor others. And they will not be self-seeking. They will not be easily angered. They will not anger people, but they will be full of love and peace. They will have no record of wrong. I love that one. Meaning there won't be disappointment. Praise the Lord. They will not have evil, but they will rejoice in God's truth. They will protect. They will be protected. They will have hope. And they will persevere and they will preserve. Praise the Lord. In closing, here's a challenge for us for 2025 plans. Get to know God in all your endeavors. All of them. Bring them to the Lord. Get to know God's love for you. Whatever it is, if it's a house, just know that God has blessed you with it. It's yours. So the prayers become different. They're no longer from a place of fighting. They're now from a place of thanking the Lord. Because it's written. If you want children, it's written. If you're looking for any prosperity in your career, whatever it is, harmony in the family, it is written. There will be harmony. Whatever it is. If it's marriage, whatever it is, God says, bring it to me. Let it be. Where is God in your 2025 plan? This is a big question. Is there God in it? I'm here to challenge us because I don't want us to start the year. I believe the Lord does not want us to start the year with fear and running the whole year with the mandate of Satan in the plans of God. When God has said, I have given you all of these things, he wants us to run the year with love, knowing that he loves us, knowing that these plans, he has unctioned and mandated them long before you were even born. Amen. And if there's fear in those plans, whatever the fear is, the fear of sickness, the fear of financial distress, the fear of divorce, the fear of loneliness, we put plans because we don't want to be lonely, fear of depression, you know, hey, I can't be sad, you know. There's people that fear that. There's a fear of anxiety, the fear of death, you know, putting our plans together because we're worried about death, we're worried about failure, we're worried about loss, that I will lose things. We worry for our children, you know, oh, when I die, what's going to happen to these kids, you know. Come, family, I call us up to come. Bring those to the Lord right away. Surrender them all right now to the Lord and give them to him. Rest those fears on the finished works of God. Rest them to the Lord. And I want to challenge us again to trust God again. Trust him again. Trust him with your plans. Trust him again. Those plans that you have, some of us, we don't have plans because we put plans before and they didn't work out. And so disappointment crept in. And now you're like, I can't put this plan together. The Lord says, bring it. Trust me with it again. Bring it. Trust it with the finished works. He has made you whole and he has made you righteous. Amen. Amen. Amen.